This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of a book written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. It's called Choose Joy, and it's perfect for the trying times we live in. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of the message called Don't Let Anyone Steal Your Identity.
I don't know if you know this or not, but some people don't like me. And they criticize me and they say, I spend no seconds of my life thinking about those people. Why? I don't need their approval to be happy. I'm happy while they're stewing and spewing. I don't like Rick Warren. Fine. God does. I'm chosen, I'm loved, and I'm accepted. You're chosen, you're loved, and you're accepted. So, why is this such a big deal, what other people think about you? Now, that's the first pillar, and there are four of them. Here's the second pillar of your identity. Kay's gonna come and talk about this. In Christ, my value and worth are priceless.
As Rick said, my value and my worth are priceless. Isaiah 43, verse 4, God says, you are precious to me. Now, precious is a really emotional word. It's not a word that we use very often. We don't hear people talk about it. When I hear the word precious, there's something in me that just thinks it's got to be said with a southern accent, like, oh, honey, you are so precious to me. You know, it fits with the southern accent. But in Hebrew, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and so Isaiah, in Hebrew, it means highly valued or esteemed. In English, it means valued, wanted, treasured, cherished. And whether you are comfortable using that emotional word precious to describe how you feel about people you love or have people use that about you, or whether you're comfortable even admitting the longings that you have in your heart, we all want to be loved, to be highly esteemed, to be valued, to be treasured, to be cherished by at least one other person in this world. And the good news is that God has already said, you are precious to me. Well, how do we know that that's how God feels about us? He says it, but what's the visible proof of that? Two ways that I can think of. First is we are all made in the image of God. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, there on the screen, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. In Latin, the words for image of God is imago Dei. And imago Dei is what all of us contain. All of us contain the image of God. We were made in his likeness, and it defines us as surely as this phrase that we've been using, in Christ. Before we were in Christ, we were all made in the image of God. And what does that mean, that we are made in the image of God? Well, God is not a physical being, he's a spiritual being, spirit. And so it doesn't have anything to do with, well, you look like God, but I don't look like God. It's not about appearance. It is the characteristics of God. God is a three-part being. Great theology that there's so much to unpack on this. He is a triune God. He's made in three parts. He's God, he's Son, he's Holy Spirit. And we as human beings who are made in his image are also made in three parts. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. To be made in the image of God means that we have emotions like God has emotions. God uses words like precious. We've said that's an emotional word. God has emotions. We as human beings, made in his image, have emotions. We have the capacity for rational thought, not just instinct. We have the capacity to develop a spiritual connection with the creator of the universe. And that means that every single person carries the spark of the divine. And we have the image of God stamped on us. Now, this must become an unshakable conviction in you, because when you understand that you and every other person on this planet has been stamped with the image of God, that establishes personhood. Anyone made in the image of God is a person, regardless of how functional they are, how well they can contribute in society, whether they are born or unborn. Every person has been stamped with the image of God. And it's the driving force for why we as human beings care for the weak. It's why we care for the vulnerable. It's why we care for those on the edges, those that are too sick to contribute to the community through employment, or those that are too young, or those that are too old to care for others, or those that need to be taken care of, those who are incapacitated in their body or their mind or their spirit, those who cannot speak their own name or put a spoon to their mouth, or those who are not yet born and have not made a measurable contribution to society, all are stamped with the image of God. I've talked to you a little bit in the last year or so about my mom. She's 95 and is in last stages of Alzheimer's, and she is really a shell of the person that she used to be. She was a vibrant woman. She was an excellent Bible teacher. My dad was a pastor, and she was an amazing pastor's wife, and creative and warm. And she was one of those ladies that, you know, they always say, well, you could eat, her house was so clean, you could eat off of her floor. That was made for my mom. She was just always, always busy. And now at 95 and last stages of Alzheimer's, it is impossible to have much of a rational conversation with her, because her little sentence loop is about 15 seconds long, and then she's forgotten what she said. And most of the time she lives with delusions and thinks that she's been kidnapped and that people are trying to kill her and the caregivers are just being nice to her, but they're gonna hurt her behind closed doors. She's in a wheelchair because her legs won't hold her up anymore. She needs help with hygiene. She needs help with dressing herself. She can't teach Bible studies anymore. She can't even read the Bible, because the Bible and any other book don't make sense to her. And so in society's eyes, my mother's worth and value is declining by the day. And she feels it. She knows it. And in some of her coherent moments, she's able to say, I wish I could just die. I just wish I could die. Life is not how it used to be. I can't do anything for anybody anymore. And so my main task with my mom these days is to remind her every day that she has been stamped with Imago Dei, that the image of God, she bears the divine spark. She matters. She is a person. She has value. She has worth, even though she can't contribute in the ways that she has done all of her life. She matters. And that is not only how we treat those who are weak and vulnerable, because they've all been stamped with the image of God, but this is how we are to treat each other. Every one of us, able-bodied, able-minded, whatever condition you find yourself in, no matter if the person that you're looking at is doing something heinous, horrible, terrible, criminal, evil, and deserves some sort of punishment or some sort of consequence for their behavior. Every single person, even at our very worst, maintains the spark of the divine, maintains Imago Dei. And that means that you and I, in very practical terms, never, ever have the right to speak of another human being in degrading terms, to talk of human beings as animals, call them names like dogs or cockroaches or vermin or infestations or undesirable or even deplorable. This is all against Imago Dei. It is all, anytime we speak in degrading terms of other human beings, even at their very worst, we are negating by our words what God says is true about us. Our identity is we bear the image of God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Sometimes life throws us curves. There are little annoyances, like traffic tickets and long lines at the market. Then there are deep hurts, like serious illness, financial worries, unresolved relational conflicts, or the loss of a loved one. The Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. If you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want the updated version of Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In Choose Joy, Kay shares the path to experiencing soul-satisfying joy no matter what you're going through. She helps you send your spiritual roots deep into the soil of God's love so that you can develop convictions and certainties about Him that will become the source of your strength when happiness isn't enough. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the book Choose Joy by Kay Warren as our way of saying thanks. And when you sign up to be a partner in Hope, we'll send you a special gift to welcome you to the Daily Hope family. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
The second way that we know that we are valuable, that's concrete way, I mean, it's an incredible truth to know that we are stamped with the image of God. But another way that we can know that we are, that our value is priceless to God is because Jesus died for us. Rick has already mentioned that. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to earth in human form to die on a cross for all of our sins, our rebellion against God's right to reign and rule in our lives. And He died for all of the sins, for all time, for all of the people who ever were born, who would ever live, those who were alive when He died on the cross, those who have been born since His death and resurrection, and those who will be born long after you and I are gone. Jesus died for all of our sin in that moment, and He took the penalty and paid the ransom that we should have paid. 1 Peter 1:18, I'm going to come back to that other verse, so hold on, but look at 1 Peter 1:18. It says, you were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned, but you weren't ransomed by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. There's that word again, precious. It was used in the Old Testament, and it meant highly esteemed and valued. And in the Greek, in which the New Testament was written, it means the same thing. And so God said, I'm going to use something that is precious, highly valued to me, the lifeblood of my Son, to rescue and redeem something, someone else who is highly esteemed, valuable, precious to me. And that was me, and that was you. So God says again, not only because we've been stamped with the image of God, but because He gave His lifeblood for us, we are precious to Him. Well, there are two debilitating lies, I think, that can arise from our need to know that we matter. And the first one is that some have concluded that really none of us do matter, that the universe is a cold and sterile and unfeeling, uncaring, random place. And because the universe is that way, that means that we as human beings also are random and meaningless, and at the end of the day, don't really matter. Rick is going to be talking about that more in the series, not so much today, but just know that that is a lie. The second lie that I think that we have to contend with about our whether we matter or not is, let's just say you get past that first one and you do believe that human beings matter and that we're stamped with the image of God. What can creep in is a fear that if we reveal to other people really the shameful things that we have done, the terrible things that go through our minds on a daily basis, that we won't matter to them. Maybe we'll matter to God, but we won't matter to another human being, because honestly, there is a lot of junk in all of our lives. There's stuff that we are embarrassed and ashamed of. There are days that we would love to recall, wipe out. Man, I wish I had not done what I did on that day. I wish I had not said what I said to that person on that day. If I could rewind history, I would do it in a heartbeat, because I am so ashamed of what I did and what I said. But that doesn't even cover the things that nobody will really ever know about us, the thoughts that go through our minds every day. I would be horrified if you could see how many times I am so self-centered, how I am completely self-absorbed. How often wouldn't you hate it if everybody knew that they could see into your head when you're interpreting a conversation or an interaction, and inside really what you're thinking of, well, you know what, that doesn't do anything for me, so I don't have to talk to that person. Or that person's got nothing to give me, so I don't have to listen to it. I mean, the self-absorption, the self-centeredness, the selfishness. I mean, the stuff that's even worse from that, the ugly thoughts, the hateful thoughts, the violent thoughts, the pornographic thoughts, the judgmental, the vindictive thoughts that fill our minds. And when those things, we know they're there, other people don't necessarily know they're there, but it can lead us to that place of believing God may accept me, God may love me, but other people won't. And so conclude in the end, I really don't matter that much, because people would run from me. They would discard me like a used tissue if they knew what I was really like. But here's the comfort. God does already know. God does already know. He knows it all, and he has already declared that you are precious to him, that you are highly valued, even in your sin, in your worst moments, in your most evil moments, in your most despicable moments, in your most shameful moments. His love for you does not shift or change. You are precious, you are valued, and Jesus has come for us. And because of the high price that Jesus was willing to pay for us, the Bible says, we belong to God. We belong to him. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:23. It says, you have been bought and paid for by Christ, so you belong to him. In the world of value, provenance really matters. Whether in the world of antiques, where that jewelry came from, who wore that piece of jewelry, who painted that painting, who owned it, who owns that piece of art, whose house was that, who used to have that car, whose yacht was that, those things matter. Ownership matters. And the Bible says our provenance is God. God is our owner. Jesus has bought and paid for us, and our lives belong to him. So our provenance, our worth, our value, so much comes from belonging to God. Ownership makes all the difference in the world. Rick has been a collector all his life. I mean, he collected rocks. He collected stamps. He collected coins. He collected National Geographic magazines. He collected letters from famous people. I mean, he's collected it all, and he used to call it his valuable property. And so when he and I first met, that was one of the things I learned about him, is he was very particular about his valuable property, the things that he had collected. And he also collected some weird and random things, like chicken wishbones. And the first time I visited his parents' home and went into the bedroom he had grown up with as a little kid, it was strung with desiccated and dried out chicken wishbones. And I married him anyway. So that's on me. I knew what I was getting into. I'm so glad he's settled on collecting old books and old things from history and theology, and, you know, and of course, whoever it belonged to matters to him. But the really funny thing to me about this, talking about ownership and provenance and where something came from, is that, I mean, Rick would not say this about himself, but he's kind of well-known, and some people, you know, might even say he's famous. And so there are people who want to own things that belong to Rick Warren. So there have been people digging in our trash over the years. And it just cracks me up, because I'm thinking, really? His used root beer bottle is that valuable? But it's the provenance. It's who you belong to and who it belonged to. You and I, in our identity, it is so strong and it is so secure. We've been stamped with the image of God. Imago Dei is written all over our lives, and we have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, and we belong to God. Our owner, our provenance, comes from God, and that identity strengthens us to live in this world in such a confident way. Rick is going to talk about the next point, about how in Christ, I have something to offer to the world.
Thanks, babe. Now, I've told you many times that you're not an accident. There are accidental parents. There are no accidental children. There are illegitimate parents. There are no illegitimate children. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. And the reason you're alive is because he wanted you alive. Remember, before you were born, thousands, millions of years before you were born, he chose you. He said, I'm going to choose to create you. If you hadn't been chosen by God, you think you'd be alive right now? Not a chance. If you hadn't been loved and accepted, and if you weren't valuable and priceless to God, you think you'd be taking your next breath? Not a chance. Now, there's a third pillar of these four legs of the table, which are your self-identity, your self-worth. And as Kay said, the third leg of the stool or the third leg of the table is, in Christ, I have something to offer to the world. Why? God didn't create anything without a purpose. So if your heart's beating and you're breathing, there's a purpose. And that purpose is to make a contribution to the world. God uniquely shaped you for a contribution. He wired you in certain way. Nobody else in history has your DNA. Nobody. Nobody in the past, nobody in the future will ever be you. God doesn't create clones or copies. Even identical twins are different in thousands and thousands of different ways. You have a unique thumbprint, voice print, eye print, footprint, heartbeat. You're not one in a million. You're one in trillions. There's nobody ever going to be like you in the past or the future. That's how specifically God custom made you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, sometimes life throws us curves. There are little annoyances like traffic tickets and long lines at the market. Then there are deep hurts, like serious illnesses, financial worries, unresolved relational conflicts, or the loss of a loved one. The Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. If you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want the updated version of Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In Choose Joy, Kay shares the path to experiencing soul-satisfying joy no matter what you're going through. She helps you send your spiritual roots deep into the soil of God's love so that you can develop convictions and certainties about Him that will become the source of your strength when happiness isn't enough. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. And when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Some of you may not know that Daily Hope is broadcast each day on Heartline Radio in Jakarta, Indonesia. Let me share a testimony I got from a man named Alex who lives there in Indonesia. Dear Pastor Rick, I've been blessed by learning the Word of God delivered by you. Almost every night I share the topics that I hear on Daily Hope with my children when we pray at night before bed. Pastor Rick, you and your broadcast have blessed our family. We pray that Daily Hope Ministry will continue to reach more and more people, not only in Indonesia, but all over the whole world. Alex, I want to thank you for blessing us with this note. This is the kind of note that keeps us going, that keeps us serving and working. I'm so glad you're sharing God's truth with your children. Now, the reason Alex is able to hear Daily Hope in Indonesia is because of you, because of your generous financial support. And from other listeners like you, we're able to take this message all around the world. I just want to say to you, thank you for your regular financial support. We love you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.